Hello, all you beautiful spirits. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, your favorite listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its Board of Trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in today for our weekly show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. We focus here on personal and spiritual growth, on spirituality rather than religion. And we explore ways to actually reclaim the connection and the communication with our own higher selves, with our own inner divinity, and with the power that comes through that connection. Each week I share with you workable, proven methods for experiencing greater peace, greater love, joy, and connection, and how to remove those internal, usually unconscious, obstacles that have actually blocked our connection with that divine source of all life. I believe that it is our God-given birthright to experience inner joy, peace, and unconditional love, to actually feel whole in body, in mind, and in spirit. And if that's what you want, then you're in the right place. And I hope that you and all of your friends join us every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. And my passion has always been spiritual connection, along with sharing what I've learned in this wild and crazy life I've lived, about being happier, healthier, and more at peace inside. And so each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what actually helps, what really matters, so that we can have not only the energy, but the inspiration to begin living in the ways that we've always wanted to live. I know that each and every one of us is a divinely created being. And that divine spark of life, it's alive in each and every one of us. I know that because without it, we wouldn't be living. We would be what we call dead. We wouldn't be breathing, living, walking, talking. And because of that inner spark of life, that God spark, that inner divinity, we have the choice and we also have the power to bring ourselves up. Sometimes we need a little help, but we can rise up out of depression, out of addiction, anger, grief, any suffering that we may have been experiencing. We can come up out of it. I know that because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I really hope that you join me here every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM in Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org, as we tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that actually is animating all forms of life, including yours and mine. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain or even do in order to feel that inner peace or happiness. There's really only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of that God energy inside of us. You can call that your higher self, or you can call it Great Spirit, or unconditional love or divine energy. It doesn't really matter what you call it, but it really does matter if you call on it. Because that divine power that lives in your heart and mine and in everyone else's, that divine power is actually ours as soon as we claim it. And that's really what this show is all about. And so I really want to thank you for listening. And I'd also like to let you know that if you would like some help with getting in touch with that higher self, that inner spirit inside of you, there is a free guided meditation on my website. There's also a whole lot of free information and other tools on my various websites. And you're invited to check those out if you would like to. Lots of information on there if you want it. There's also a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So if you're on Facebook and you'd like to connect, please do so. I'd love to hear any comments you have about what we've had on the show or what you'd like to see on the show. And I've also been inviting people to share their personal transformational stories, aha moments, anything that's happened that has made you come alive or recognize yourself as the divine being that you are, anything that has really turned your life around for the better. I've discovered over the years that when we hear one another's transformational stories, it wakes us up in a way that just reading an article just doesn't do. And so I invite you to share those stories, and that Facebook page or any of those websites is a way to get in touch with me. And let's see if you would like to be on the radio, either by the phone or come in the station if you're in the area. And so we begin each week, each show, with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to really begin to bring body, mind, and spirit into a greater harmony. And I'd also recommend that you let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it really begins to feel more strongly the spirit that's animating the body. Enjoy. Beautiful Spirits. That was Ruthie Foster singing Welcome Home. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM in the Cincinnati area, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. And what we do here on this show is find all the different ways there are to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives inside your heart, that lives inside me and your neighbor and your friend and your partner and everyone. That divine love, it animates all forms of life. And when we can actually welcome a connection with that divine spark of life, then we begin to wake up to the beauty, to the glory even, that is in life. And so every week, that's what we're doing on this show, is finding ways to clear out whatever has blocked us from experiencing that and finding ways to tune us into more of that, more awareness of that, so that we can wake up to that inner divinity of our own. And today we're actually talking about the healing power of prayer, and we're going to be giving some real-life examples of how prayer can make such an immediate and amazing difference. We're going to have a guest on a little bit later. Her name is Doris Schnitzer, and she is from here in Cincinnati, and she's going to be joining me in the station in a little while to talk about how she was healed after praying to a saint, which I think is a wonderful story. I'm also going to share some of my own stories. And we're doing this as a way to give you not only hope that prayer can indeed make a difference, but to inspire you to actually do that, to actually call for your own healing. Because we're beings of free will. And because we are beings of free will, and because God is in us and in everything, when we call on it, we're much more likely to get it, what it is that's going to make us healthy and happy and feel whole. If we don't call on it, there's not much chance of that. So the story that I want to tell about prayer and the miraculous power of it is from a time when it was in 1987, and I was a drug addict for 20 years, for a lot of you know that, maybe some of you don't. And I've been clean since 1987. Prior to 1987, I had pretty much quit doing all drugs, except for marijuana. Marijuana was a very, very difficult drug for me to give up for a whole lot of reasons, partly because I was in a lot of denial about the fact that I had a problem with it. I know there are some people who smoke pot and it's not a problem for them, but there are a lot of people that it is a problem for, and I was one of those. I couldn't get up without using. I used all day long. I pretty much stayed loaded for 20 years. I've often said if you added up all the minutes that I wasn't loaded for that 20-year period, you might get a couple of hours. I don't know, but I really, really abused marijuana, and the last 5 years have been really horrible. I was on the downside of the addiction probably for the last 10 years, but the last 5 years in particular were really bad. And I finally went to a 12-step program. I was actually living in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they had a 12-step meeting for marijuana addicts. And I finally went to one of those. I had been to 12-step meetings for other things, although most of the drugs that I quit, I actually quit cold turkey for the most part and on my own, but I had walked a lot of other people through AA, and I had never thought that I had a problem. When I finally admitted my problem with marijuana, I went to a 12-step meeting, and my denial got broken because I heard 13 people in the room tell my own story. I had never heard that with alcoholics because I'm not an alcoholic. I could listen to their stories all day long. It didn't touch me like listening to somebody who had the same issues as I did. And so my denial was broken, and I threw away all my marijuana, and I was absolutely determined that I was going to be clean, finally. And I was working the steps. I got a sponsor. But I tell you, it was really, really hard. Those first 3 weeks of being clean,
they call it white knuckling it, because that's what I was doing. I was white knuckling it. I was suicidal. I was homicidal. I was having panic attacks. I had a lot of support, but I just inside, and I was functioning well. I mean, I was working. I was going to school. Nobody really knew all those dreadful things were happening inside of me, but I did. And I was just really, really didn't think that I was going to be able to make this. I just wasn't going to be able to do it. And after about 3 weeks, it's like I finally got down on my knees. And I had not been on my knees probably since I had been a young girl. But I got down on my knees, and I prayed like I had never prayed. And I surrendered. I begged God to lift this problem with addiction from me. I cried from the depths of my soul, and I surrendered. I completely surrendered everything, and I gave it up to God, and I begged for help. And I don't know how long I was on my knees crying, begging for help, but all of a sudden, there was a presence that came into the room, and it was so powerful that I actually raised my head and looked around, because I thought someone had opened the door and come in the room. And I realized that this was God coming to lift my burden, and I gave it away. I surrendered that desire for marijuana, and do you know, God lifted it right off of me. It was like shedding 1,000 pounds. But I felt that addiction, that craving. I felt it just lift. It just came up off of my shoulders. And I was filled with the most incredible peace. It was truly amazing. The peace that I was filled in let me know that something amazing had just happened. And I really didn't know how amazing until once I dried my eyes and blew my nose and got up from that prayer. I did not want marijuana anymore. I never thought about it again. For 3 years, I never even thought about it. It's like it was lifted. It was gone. I would be, you know, at parties or at events, and somebody would be passing around a joint or a pipe, and they would hand it to me, and I would just hand it to the person beside of me. It didn't even occur to me to want it. And 2 or 3 times over the next couple of years, I would find a stash that I'd had hidden. And when I found it, I would just go and flush it. That craving, that addiction was gone. Now, what I want to say about that, other than thank you, God, is that I had to do what I had to do first. I had to show my commitment. I had to actually give up the drugs, and I had done that for at least, I know it was 2 weeks, it may have been 3. I had proven my commitment, but it was, I couldn't keep going like that. I couldn't, and I knew I couldn't. I don't think anybody can white knuckle it for very long. I'm pretty strong, but that was about as long as I could take it. But I think more importantly to me is that when I realized that that was completely lifted, completely taken away from me, I began to understand something about prayer that I hadn't understood before. Because, you know, I had prayed a lot of times. I'm sure probably many of us have prayed for a lot of different things at a lot of different times and felt like our prayers weren't answered. And what I discovered in that moment, in that experience, was that you have to surrender. When you pray, you really have to surrender. And for me, it had to go deep. I mean, really, really deep. I surrendered to God. And that addiction was lifted. It was incredible. It felt like I was crying from the roots of my soul. It literally felt like I was going to throw up. I was crying so hard and pulling up that surrender out of my toes almost. And so that was one of the most amazing, well, actually, I've had so many miraculous experiences in my life. I could probably talk about them all day, but that was one where the power of prayer was truly, truly miraculous. Another story I want to tell you, and then we're going to hear a little bit of music, and we're going to come back and hear a story from our guest, Doris Schnitzer, is in 1979 or 1980, I had a very severe case of endometriosis, and it had been going on for probably about 5 months with extreme, extreme, excruciating pain. And I had tried everything, and nothing was helping. I mean, I tried every alternative thing that there was to try at that point in time, and nothing was really helping that. And I had actually been to a gynecologist who had said, you know, this was like one of the worst cases of endometriosis she had ever seen. And she had wanted to do what she called emergency surgery the first time I went. Well, I'm real into alternative stuff and not medical stuff. So I said, let me see if I can't take care of this on my own. Well, I did a lot of things, including prayer, including hypnosis, including diet, including chiropractors, including all these different kind of adjustments. I mean, herbs, everything I tried, nothing helped. And what finally happened was I had been praying about having this healed. And I was also taking a class. This is where I learned to do kinesiology, was in a class where we were looking to see what were our subconscious belief systems and change them, the ones that were creating negative things in our lives. And I missed one of my classes. And because I was in excruciating pain, and when the woman called to find out why I missed the class, and I told her, she said, oh, come over tomorrow and we'll fix that. Well, I got really, really angry with her because I'm saying, you know, this is not psychological. This is not psychological. This is physical. Well, needless to say, I went over the next day. This was after I had been praying, because for the 5 months before this, I had tried everything in the world, and I hadn't really thought about praying. Well, I had just sat down like 2 days before and prayed from the depths of my soul again and surrendered and said, show me. And then she says, come over. We did this process that she did, which was kinesiology, a very specific form of using kinesiology to discover what the beliefs were. And I discovered the belief that was underneath sort of triggered the endometriosis in my body. And when we cleared that underlying belief, the endometriosis was cleared, literally from one moment to the next. Of course, it took us about 6 hours of doing what I call playing 20 questions to find out what that underlying belief was. But once we found out what it was, I said 3 simple sentences. It cleared it. It was gone. I never had any trouble with it again. That is the power that we have in us to change something that's going on that is problematic for us. There are 1,000 ways to do it. That was what I would call energy psychology. But it came to me because the class I was taking, it wasn't evident in the class I was taking that the woman could do that kind of work. She only told me that after I had prayed for the whole thing to be cleared. And so it was. And that is actually what got me started on this path of studying metaphysics and what's going on in the subconscious and becoming a psychologist. And that's what got me started on this path, is knowing that a severe physical ailment that I had was cured from one moment to the next simply by changing my mind. Well, by first discovering what I was holding unconsciously in mind and then changing it. So think about that. You can be healed. There are lots of ways to do it. You are listening to Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we have a guest in the studio today. Her name is Doris Schnitzer. Hi, Doris. How are you?
Hi, Louisa. My name is Doris, and I'm doing well. She said I should give an introduction, so I'll tell you that I facilitate people's healing using Reiki and Quantum Touch. I have a website. It's Green Ray Healing. And I'm looking forward to honoring All Saints Day, which is tomorrow, by sharing my story of an experience I had with a saint.
Oh, wonderful. And so you do Reiki and Quantum Touch. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people know what Reiki is, but can you say a little bit about Quantum Touch? Because I think that's one of the most amazing things lately.
Quantum Touch is really neat. It basically comes from California. Richard Gordon developed the teaching for it. And it's best for issues related to any kinds of pain, physical pain in the body, although it can also help with emotional issues. And I actually worked on someone who had scoliosis for 40 years, and within three sessions, her spine was completely straight, and her feet, which had always been splayed, also became straight. So that was really exciting. She was really ready to heal.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the things that Quantum Touch is great for.
Yeah.
Any kind of spinal alignment issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was turned on to that a number of years ago, and just, oh my gosh, energetically and physically, it felt so good.
And it can work really quickly. That's what's so neat about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about how you, what your journey, sort of an overall picture of your journey to get to this place where you're doing energy work and very high-level consciousness work?
Well, I got my first level Reiki attunement about 8 years ago, and over the next about 5 years after that, so up to about 3 years ago, I became a Reiki master practitioner. I don't teach, but I became attuned to the master symbol and energy. And then a couple of years ago or so, maybe 3 years ago, I learned Quantum Touch. And so that's something that I'm building on, and I continue to learn new healing methods, and I combine them when I'm working with people.
Right.
And I do remote healing, too, so I don't have to be in the same room as somebody. So.
Well, you know, that's one of the things I appreciate the most about David Hawkins. I've been doing kinesiology since the 80s, and then when David Hawkins came out with his book, Power versus Force, and showed us that kinesiology is not really working off the body, which is what was initially thought. It's actually working off the field. You can find out the truth from the field of consciousness. Therefore, you don't have to be present with something.
Mm-hmm.
And when that all became so scientifically proven, to me, it really validated and showed how it is that remote healing or prayer or anything else where you're not actually touching somebody can actually work.
Right. I mean, I was really surprised when I received remote healing through a saint.
Yeah.
And that was a very incredible experience, because should I talk about it now or do you want to talk about it later?
I would love for those people who don't know what Reiki is, just in case we have some of those listening, to go ahead and say, what is Reiki, in case somebody's sitting there going, huh?
Oh, okay. Well, Reiki, it's spelled R-E-I-K-I. And there are different lineages depending on the master. My lineage is through Master Isui, so it's the Isui lineage. He was a master in Japan, and so it's passed down from master to student. You learn it in different levels. When you work on someone, that person is actually fully clothed, you use hand positions that are learned that align with the body's energetic meridians. You don't even have to touch the person, although you may be touching the person. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that Reiki was actually taught by Master Takada, one of Master Isui's students, to the Japanese Navy.
Mm-hmm.
So how neat is that? That actually it was used by, you think, well, Reiki's kind of out there. Well, the Japanese Navy was using it.
Right.
So if somebody was injured, one of their, mates could work on them.
Right. And what is it?
It's energy healing. It's a higher high vibration or high frequency of energy that is channeled through me or any Reiki practitioner. You can use it on yourself or on a client or a friend or family member. And then that energy enters that person's aura and works on different levels of the aura to achieve stress relief and more, much more.
Right. So basically you're talking about energy healing.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Reiki is a very specific and somewhat structured way. I mean, those of us who have been involved in hands-on healing my whole life, or faith healing, or, you know, whatever kinds, there's a billion kinds of that. To me, when I first learned about Reiki and learned a little bit about it and studied it a little bit, it was like, oh, this is just a structured way and a guided way to do what I think people have naturally been doing for many, many centuries, but probably always. Humans, we know how, we are energetic beings, and so we know how to do that. And if we're naturally compassionate and loving and wanting to heal, I think we're naturally doing that. But what I loved about Reiki is that it gives you a very clear structure and a very clear format to say, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you align yourself. This is how you open yourself. This is how you channel energy. I think it's a really good teaching method for people learning how to work with energy.
And a lot of teachers encourage their students to use intuition so that...
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people, I think, you know, I've been in this field since the early 70s, and I remember when Reiki was like such a far out weirdo kind of thing. And now it seems like there's Reiki practitioners everywhere. I mean, just
Cincinnati has an amazing number of Reiki practitioners. But I have to say that I didn't feel that Reiki energy in my hands until I received attunement. I think that the attunement does connect you to a certain vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the neat thing about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to say, is it gives you a way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, know what your own energy is and raise it up. That's one of the things I love the most about it, is it's a very straightforward sort of way
mm-hmm.
of doing
it. Oh, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of people out there who try to either do or teach energy healing, but they don't really have a system for how do you do that, you know,
or
a lot of hands-on healing
mm-hmm.
kind of people, and they're like, well, what are you doing? Well, I don't know. I just kind of do this, and this happens.
And it's nice because it's gentle. I used some Reiki on my six-month-old niece. I didn't even have to touch her, and
right.
I know she benefits from it.
Right, right. Well, and most people who do Reiki, in my experience, it isn't hands-on. They don't actually touch. I mean, a few people I've worked with do, but most people it's above
mm-hmm.
The body rather mm-hmm. than on the body. Is that your experience?
I've really experienced both. More and more I'm working outside of the body and the other layers of the aura, and that seems to be working really well.
Right.
Sometimes people, I think, like to feel the groundedness of actually being touched at the end of the session, maybe on their feet, just to bring them back to earth.
Right.
But, yeah, so I don't know what the statistics are on that.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So it sounds like you've been on this growth, this healing path for a while.
Right, and I mean, I grew up Catholic, so I was fortunate to grow up with the ideas related to prayer.
Right.
So that is definitely helps my practice.
Right, that's wonderful. Well, I really do want to hear this story of how you prayed to a saint and received healing from that, and I think that's going to be inspirational, at least, to the people who hear it, because I think hearing one another's stories like that, it gives us more than hope, but I think at the very least it gives us hope that, gosh, maybe there is some help for me.
Right, especially if you have a very serious
right.
physical problem.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, having had very serious issues myself that have been healed either directly through prayer or as a result of praying, someone or something walked into my life that healed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the power of prayer can never, ever be overstated. It's just,
mm-hmm.
And I just love it when people mm-hmm. can tell personal stories about how that happened for them.
thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, you are certainly welcome. We are going to take a little station break. And when we come back, we're going to hear Doris's story about how she prayed to St. Gianna Beretta Mola. I'm going to say Mola.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought that was Italian and not Spanish. But for those of you...
It is Italian.
Okay. For those of you who are just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM in Cincinnati and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. I want to thank you so much for listening today. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I am an interfaith and metaphysical minister and life coach. Our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And we talk here every week about opening up to that divine spark of life that lives inside each and every one of us. What we can do to be more inspired to open to it. Also what we can do to move out of the way whatever has been blocking it. And so we're going to hear about prayer. That's what we've been talking about so far today. And we're going to hear Doris's story. So, Doris, you've got the mic.
I'm about in February. I was working in the business center at UC Health,
mm-hmm.
pretty close to here, and everything was going well with the job, and I had even started working out and using the treadmill. But then suddenly, I mean, I'd been doing this for over a month, and or working out over a month, and I suddenly realized that I didn't feel comfortable running because I felt dizzy. And I noticed that I had a little bit of pressure in my head. I didn't think a lot about it. Then one day I went into a meeting where I was supposed to check on AV equipment, and some gibberish came out of my mouth, like words that I didn't even... It was like maybe 20 seconds of gibberish, but... What's going on here?
That must have been really scary.
It was really scary. Yeah, it was scary, and when I couldn't concentrate, actually, to do the job, and I had to stop the job, and it was very sudden. I think some people probably thought, well, there goes another temp, you know, right? Or she's making it up. But I went to the emergency room immediately. One of my coworkers brought me and to check out to make sure I was okay. Well. Sorry, UC Health, but it was not very helpful. One person I talked to offered at least some sort of emotional help for me, but they didn't learn what was really wrong with me, and I'm actually still paying my bills for that.
How long ago was that?
That was 6 months ago, but I went to UC Health on 2 separate occasions. So, anyway, lesson learned. You know, we all know. Medical things can be very expensive. Sometimes you might not be getting the help you need. So I knew that something was wrong with me. I was very tired. I went to a kirtan, which is a Hindu like chanting.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of dragged myself to it because I was really tired. But even when I was there, people came up to me and asked me if everything was okay with me. People I didn't even know. So I told them what had been going on with me. And they said, well, we'll be thinking about you and, you know, sort of praying for you.
Uh-huh. So basically you had suddenly gotten dizzy and were doing a little word salad and...
Yes. And I mean, the dizziness and the tiredness happened over a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still working. And then finally it was like, I just can't even concentrate anymore.
Wow. And when you went to the...
I was taking notes at meetings. I'd been doing a lot of concentrating and so on. So then when I went to the emergency room, it was just like, yeah, okay.
They didn't do an MRI or anything?
No. Okay. And then I talked to people and they recommended our neuroscientists or doctors to talk to, and pretty much nobody could see me.
Right.
So... or if they could, it would have been 2 months out. And I do understand they're very busy people. So, anyway, I lived with my parents, and I opened up a Catholic Telegraph, which they received, and one of the first pages, and this was after, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at least, after I'd left work, I came across a very small, just a couple of paragraphs about St. Gianna Beretta Mola, and she resonated with me because... She's Italian. I have some Italian in me.
Right.
and she's a woman. She was a woman physician, and that's pretty neat, especially for her, you know, for her time. Even though she's more of a modern saint, so I decided to write her a letter, and I wrote that letter, and I asked her for help with this dizziness and the other symptoms I had been experiencing, and. Well, I sure wasn't expecting that within 2 days I would just be resting on my bed, which I was doing a lot of. And she came to me. She told me that I had a subdural hematoma. I didn't know what that was. I'd never heard of subdural hematoma on my brain. So just to describe what that is, I had to look it up. It's when blood gathers between the dura mater and the arachnoid mater, so which envelopes the brain, and it can come from tears and bridging veins. And I actually had a concussion many years ago, but I'm thinking there may be a connection there.
Mm-hmm.
That this was a chronic condition that finally came to a head.
No pun intended.
Oh, gosh. So it took about an hour for her to work on me. As I laid there, she said, I'll be stabilizing your head.
Wow.
As if it were surgery, which it was. It was a psychic surgery, and it was like an instrument was coming into my skull, and then it was like, I don't want to say it like a clot, but like a dark, something dark she was pulling out or draining out of my skull. It took, you know, took some time. Then she actually worked on my heart. She said I had some sort of a blockage in my heart, and I actually had been having some heart pains. So I was just surprised about that, but I was really glad too, because, you know,
yeah,
it's pretty important. So but the interesting thing is, she gave me instructions. She gave me post-op instructions. She said, don't go to movies for 6 weeks, don't go to movies, stay away from loud noises and music, wear blue.
Wow.
And I guess because red is too stimulating. So I wore blue. I had blue every day. She said to take some kind of a light walk every day. She said I would be more tired than usual. No alcohol, less meat, no massage, no caffeine. And I had to write these down. You know, as soon as I got up after this hour, I was like, oh, my gosh, she gave me a lot of instructions. So that's what I did. But I was, you know, I was, as she had said, more tired than usual. I tried to tell family members what had happened to me, but there were other things going on in my family. People didn't really listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
That was very difficult. They were like, why the heck is she so tired? Mm. I was recovering from the surgery, psychic surgery. I tried to tell the priest where I was going to church. He was like, I don't have time right now. It's like everybody I tried to tell, nobody had time. And, you know, normally when something serious happens to you, and let's say you get a surgery in a physical hospital, you know, you might get flowers or cards or encouragement and so on, but I didn't get that. That was hard, actually, and
yeah.
Made me think, you know, there's not like a miracles support group. So, when I think about it, it's like all I want to do now is I wish I could just manifest a retreat somewhere or get to an ocean, because even though that was a while ago, fortunately, after that 6 weeks time period, I was able to land a job, which was great because I needed to start paying those bills. And it was, you know, through the grace of God, it was in a very quiet office.
Right.
I was able to work somewhere for about 4 weeks or 4 months, for 4 months, another temp job. But it was pretty quiet there, and that's what I needed. So
in terms of the dizziness and the word salad and all of that, that cleared up?
All of it cleared up. I did have one person who I would say was very helpful, and that's my Tai Chi teacher, Marshall Hatfield. He actually listened to my story. I started these Tai Chi lessons. I was doing healing trade for the Tai Chi lessons with him, and he listened to the story. He wasn't judgmental. I think he really believed that this happened to me. And the Tai Chi was, you know, what I also needed to exercise, and it was exactly what I needed. So that support actually was very helpful to me. And everything did clear up, and, Yeah, I mean, now I do exercise regularly. I'm able to swim regularly, and you know, I continue with Tai Chi, and I've been, you know, keeping myself busy. I've been writing articles. I'm going to be a regular contributor for a magazine called Sybil. It's an online magazine. And so I'm actually able to, you know, concentrate again, and haven't had the word salad problems, which was weird, but I guess very classic for any kind of brain condition.
Yeah, brain injury. I worked with traumatic brain injury for 20 years. That was my specialty. And when you started talking about that aphasia, which is what it is, mm-hmm. when you're not saying what you think you're saying, the good news is that you actually knew you weren't saying what you mm-hmm. thought you were saying. Because it's really hard when you think you're saying something and you're not.
Oh,
that's really hard. But when you say it and you know.
I would love to actually talk to a neurologist. I would love to be able to just clear some things up for myself. And I have wondered, you know, do I need to be concerned about the future? But maybe I'll just trust that everything, you know, everything's fine. And I have changed my diet further.
Right.
And, you know, continue to do.
Do you continue to pray, too?
Yes, and things? I continue. I do, actually, I just yesterday, actually pretty recently, I have prayed to her a couple times. And I do feel like she is, in some ways, acting as a physician. But she had told me at the beginning, she said, you know, a saint is good, but it is also, you know, it is important to have, like, an earthly doctor.
Right.
So, she told me that from the get-go.
Right. So first you said you wrote her a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Did you actually send it somewhere, or you just wrote the letter? And
I wrote the letter, and I put it in this area where I keep prayer requests and where I send out prayers to people.
Right, just like an energetic.
Yeah, so it didn't, and it reached her really quickly, so that was neat.
And when you say she came to you,
uh-huh.
how did you experience that?
Well, I was trying to figure out how to describe it, and I would say, you know how sometimes you're driving and you might get the sense, or you might even, it's almost like you hear something like, you should take a left now, or there's going to be traffic ahead, and so you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, like she was sort of like in my head, so that she was able to tell me, give me these instructions. I really did feel like on another realm, somehow there was this instrument that was entering my head, and that's how
right.
she was working on me.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like you had a visual of her, but you had a proprioceptive and a kinesthetic experience
right.
of her.
Mm-hmm.
And it mm-hmm. sounds like it was clear enough that you had no doubt that you were lying there, and suddenly
yeah.
you knew she was there,
mm-hmm.
and you could hear her,
mm-hmm.
and you could also feel what was going on. I guess one of my first questions is, did you have a lot of experience with this saint that kept you from having any fear when you felt her starting to do work on your head, or did you just automatically trust her?
I think I've, in my other healing work, I think I've experienced enough interesting, useful phenomenon where, and, you know, especially with All Saints Day coming up tomorrow, thank you to all saints that exist and help us, and all spiritual, you know, all the guides who are helping us on the spiritual realm. So I've had this kind of experience where I'm even working on someone, let's say with Reiki, I've even had, you know, a guide come in, and it's like,
right.
okay, you can just take your hands off the person. Now that guide is doing the work.
Right.
Wow, well, that's pretty easy for me, isn't it? You know? So
right. So you're somebody who, through probably a lot of experience, has allowed yourself to be aware of what I call the unseen
mm-hmm.
realms,
mm-hmm.
what's going on energetically.
Mm-hmm.
So you are already working with that metaphysical, beyond the physical. You've done that with other people. What I'm curious about is,
mm-hmm.
have you had much experience of the metaphysical working with you, or was that one of the first?
I have. No, I have. However, it really has never been with a saint. And, you know, whether you're Catholic or not, I just want to say, if you do have some kind of a problem, you might just go to the web and see which saint is connected
right.
to your particular issue, and
right.
you know, say a prayer or write a letter, and also be open-minded to the people around you who may have experiences that you don't understand, you know, detached from judgment, but right. Personally really need you to accept them.
Right. Well, you know, as you were talking a while ago, and the reason I got so tickled is because I had never thought of it before, but somebody really ought to open the miracle support group.
Right.
Maybe that's your calling.
I don't know, but maybe it is. I don't know.
Because, yeah, a lot of people, I mean, certainly myself and a lot of people I've worked with and many times in my life, I've had experiences where you just couldn't go and tell most people because they were going to look at you like you had three heads. And wouldn't it be great? You know what? I think I'm going to do that. I think you have inspired me to do like an 800 number for, what would we call it? We would call it metaphysical support line.
Something like that. But maybe, you know, more people, I mean, I think there are places where people are comfortable talking about miracles. But what do you say when, you know, I've already had people where I'm interviewing for jobs say, so why did you leave that job? And I just have said, meaning UCHealth, they said, well, a health issue came up, and it has since been resolved.
Right.
So, and that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So, yeah. I am actually still more sensitive to noise. So I'm aware of that I can only handle so much. So that has changed my life a little bit. But, hey, you know, I have my health, so.
Well, you can concentrate. You're talking perfectly. The dizziness is gone.
Right.
I would say that was a very, I want to say concrete, although I have friends who would say you call that concrete.
Well, it was like complete. It was very complete.
Right. You had, you made a request, and the prayer was answered. And I just want everybody to know that regardless of what spiritual tradition that you believe in or that you've studied or if you don't believe in any of them at all, regardless, they all say the same thing. And I will use Jesus in Matthew because so many people know that. Ask and you will receive. And that to me is the big, big, big lesson. We have to ask, because if we don't there's no chance. To ask means that we are at least attempting to be open, attempting to be willing to receive. Because if we're not willing to receive the healing, we're not going to get it.
And I think there's a transition point where, let's say you have something that just seems impossible, and you say, you know, it is possible. Try to just tell yourself to say, you know, it's possible that this will be healed. It's possible that this may be healed. And then you can go to the next step, which is, you know, whether it's asking or affirming that it can be healed.
Right. Well, even if you just have to say, you know, miracles happen every day.
Yeah, right. Miracles happen.
I've just told you a couple. Doris has told you one. Miracles really do happen every day. And personally, I think it's a miracle when the sun comes up every day, because just the fact that this universe, now that physics understands the physicality of it, and it's working the way it does, and everything's spinning, and I don't feel that. It's like, holy moly. Every day, the whole thing of the universe itself is a miracle. But if we can't experience that, most of us, I think, have experienced it in some way through the love of another person or a child or an animal. When we tap into that willingness to believe that a miracle can happen, I think you nailed it. We have to be there before it can. And you showed that yourself by writing the letter. That was your actual expression of, I am open to this happening.
Yes, yes. And I, even if maybe other people were telling me there was nothing wrong with me, I actually did have an MRI done. And then nothing showed up on it, although I still didn't feel good about the results. That's why I always thought that I wished somebody else could look at it. But I still felt that there was something going on, and I really felt that it was connected to my brain because of the area of, you know, pressure and the specific thing with the salad talking salad. And so
was it in the front?
Sort of more toward the back, like the left. It seemed to me like more toward the back left part of my of my head. And
when you felt that thing come into your head, from Saint, what was her name?
Yeah, Saint Gianna Beretta Mola.
Oh, beautiful name. When you felt that come into your head to work on it, did you feel that in the back or more in the front?
More toward the back.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's interesting because the speech centers are actually more middle of the head to the front on the left side. But if she was draining a hematoma, that's exactly where she would have been draining it. It's down there's a drain right there.
Oh.
So it's not surprising that that's where you would have felt the draining happen.
Oh. Okay.
So there's a little bit more validation for you.
Well, I mean, she was a surgeon, you know. She knew what she was doing.
Right. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I think we all need to hear. I think we need to have not just a support group. I think we need to have a like a drop-in center, maybe, where everybody can come and say, guess what miracle happened to me today, so that we can keep inspiring one another.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be very cool. So you were excited at one point because, or felt this was really good timing because tomorrow is All Saints Day, so I'll give you a minute to say something about that if you would like to.
Sure. Well, I went to St. James Grade School in White Oak growing up, and I remember we used to each dress up as our favorite saint, and then we would parade through the school, like in second and third grade, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a day to celebrate saints, and different saints are associated with different things. Some saints may be associated with eyes. St. Francis of Assisi is associated with animals. You know, many people feel connections to certain saints, so I encourage people to think about that and how they may be helpful in their own life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think with everything going on in the world, I always think of Saint Germain just because there's such a social, political sort of aspect to Saint Germain, and that's the saint that I wind up calling on just for... I'm not even sure. I don't usually have words for it, but if I put words on it, it would be something like, you know, peace and clarity and just this prayer for humans to have the willingness to allow something greater to rise rather than always being against something, like being
spirit of collaboration.
Yeah, and that's what Saint Germain means to me. And so if there's a saint that works for me, it's, well, and I have this beautiful statue on my front porch of St. Francis, because to me, Francis is about plants as well as animals, he was really, along with,
outdoors a lot,
he was outdoors a lot, and he loved plants, but Hildegard de Bingham is another one. If you're someone who really loves nature, I would encourage you to read something about, she writes the most erotic love poetry.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my goodness. Hildegard de Bingham, it's like she writes this erotic love poetry about nature to God. It is, she was really an astonishing
woman. My parents saw that movie, but I didn't get to see that movie. I guess
See the movie.
It was actually at a movie theater.
Hildegard de Bingham?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. Yes, it was. It was in Marymount, I think.
Well, then I will have to go there.
Well, it's not there anymore, but anyway, maybe they'll bring it back.
Maybe they will. Well, thank you again. Any last words you would like to say about your healing or All Saints Day or anything else before we
my personal prayer is I would really like to manifest a retreat somewhere, so because I still feel like I never got to process everything from what happened to me.
Uh-huh.
And so... and I just encourage people to have an open mind when listening to others.
So it almost sounds like your prayer.
Yeah.
As you're closing today.
Yeah, I'm allowed to do that.
You're absolutely. Go ahead and make that prayer.
So, amen.
And so it is, and blessed be. I'm going to join Doris's prayer that each and every one of us become more compassionate with our own selves and with others. And part of what that means is being willing to give up our judgments and do what we can to listen to our own being, which will help us listen to someone else. Because you never know when the story someone is telling you is really important for them to be sharing. And your listening may make all the difference in the world between whether or not they feel healed or whether they need a retreat center when the conversation is over. So thank you again, Doris. Just heard a wonderful story from Doris Schnitzer. Thank you so much, Doris, for sharing that. She is a Cincinnati native who experienced this amazing healing after praying to Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, who is an Italian saint. So we were talking about the healing power of prayer, and I wanted to tell you about this one other healing that happened through prayer. And this was actually a prayer that I was doing for someone else. One of my favorite cousins, her name is Kay, everybody actually thought she died. And I cannot remember what happened, but she suddenly fell down in her yard and was not breathing and had lost her pulse. And fortunately, they got her to the hospital very, very quickly. Everybody knew CPR, and they were giving it to her until the ambulance came. And then she went into the hospital, and nobody was quite sure what had happened to her, but she wasn't coming. She went into a coma, and she was not coming out of it. And I didn't get the call until about maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock that evening. This had happened about 6. And she was in intensive care at the hospital, at a hospital that was about an hour away from me. And so it was, you know, probably 11 o'clock or almost midnight by the time I get over to the hospital. And my other cousins were all telling me, you know, Louisa, they're not going to let you in. They're not letting anybody in. The only people they've let in to see her is her mother and her father and her sister. And I'm like, no, I'm getting in there. It's important. And so I was able, maybe because I've had a medical background and could talk their language, maybe just because God was guiding everything, I don't know, but I was very clear that I was going to get into that room to visit with Kay. And so I did. I got another cousin of mine, and he and I just were able to go in and visit with her. And we were standing there, and the nurse actually left the room. We were sitting there watching Kay, and, you know, she had all these tubes and everything in her, and her vital signs were really low. And the nurse had basically told us that there was a really good chance that she wasn't going to wake up, and that if she did, there was about a 90% chance that she was going to be a vegetable, basically, that she was going to be brain dead. And they couldn't really figure this out because it seemed that because of the CPR that she had been getting from the people who were around and how fast the EMT showed up, it seemed like she didn't really, you know, go 15 or 20 minutes with no oxygen to the brain. But nonetheless, she wasn't showing a lot of brain activity. And they were really worried about her. Even if she woke up, they were worried about the condition that she was going to wake up in. And my cousin and I, who were visiting her, he's a very religious young man, and the nurse had left the room. And what my relatives know about me is that I talk about God a lot, and I pray a lot, and I meditate a lot, but I don't think of myself as religious. And I wind up not talking about religion with my relatives because I don't want to argue about it. I'm really happy for everyone to believe whatever they believe. As long as you have a connection with God, I think that's what matters. The way you have that connection doesn't matter. So anyway, we're standing there with my cousin, and I all of a sudden felt this really powerful, very powerful calling to pray for her and to ask my cousin if he would pray with me. Well, now you have to know, this has never happened. I have never asked my extraordinarily fundamentalist religious cousin to pray with me before. And so when I asked him if he would pray with me for Kay, he looked at me very strangely, but then he said, of course. And so I bowed my head, and I started praying, and I'm not even sure what I said, to tell you the truth. Some of the prayer was out loud. Most of it seemed like it was silent inside of me. But I was praying, and what I know I was praying for was for God to do whatever was in the highest good for my cousin Kay and for her family, for her husband, for her children, for her mother, for her father, for her soul. And I prayed, and tears were just pouring down my face. I probably hadn't prayed at this depth since that story I told you earlier where I had prayed to be relieved from addiction, and I was. But I prayed for my cousin Kay, and I surrendered myself as a channel to God, for God to use if that was helpful in any way at all. And I put my hands on her and just prayed for Kay's soul to receive the Spirit and to be blessed by it. And basically what I was praying was a prayer of surrender. I was surrendering my will to God, to be used by God, if that was at all helpful. I was also praying for the highest good of Kay's soul and for her healing, if that was what was most beneficial. And I was praying, tears were rolling down my face. And again, just like had happened in 1987 when I was on my knees and prayed to God and had God lift that addiction from me, I felt God come into the room. And it just astonished me, because the power that I felt when God came in the room and moved through me and moved into my cousin Kay, it was amazing. I felt, again, all my worry and fear were taken away. I felt such relief, and I felt such wholeness come through that prayer. Well, when that prayer was over, shortly thereafter, I sort of, when I opened my eyes, I realized that I was a little bit concerned about what my cousin would think and if he felt anything. And I sort of looked at him, and he had tears running down his face too. And I looked at him and I said, "Did you feel that?" He said, "What, you mean when God came in the room?" Oh, and we both just laughed and laughed and hugged each other. And then all of a sudden, all these bells and all these things started happening in the room. And the nurse comes flying in the room. She's like, "What did you do? What did you do?" And we were both terrified. We thought, "Oh, my God, Kay is gone." But no, she wasn't. What had happened is all her vital signs had changed. And her brain pattern, whatever you call that, the brain wave, was beginning to register again. And we stood there until the nurse made us leave. But right before we left, I looked at the nurse and I said, "We prayed." And she looked at me, and she has tears rolling down her face. She said, "I knew that." She said, "I felt it all the way out there." And she said, "You know what? There's a good chance she's going to wake up and be just fine." Oh, my gosh. That was so amazing. And she did. She woke up, and she had almost no physical disability, which they had been very afraid of. She had almost no paralysis. She had almost no cognitive damage. And the little cognitive damage that she did have, I was able to work with her, because working with people with traumatic brain injuries of all kinds was actually my specialty for 20 years when I was a psychologist. And so I was able to do some cognitive therapy with her and some energetic work. And it wasn't very long at all before Kay, my cousin, had all her cognitive ability back and all of her physical ability back. She still has to write things down in terms of the short-term memory issue, because that is something that affects pretty much everybody that's had any sort of damage to the brain, is that short-term memory is a problem. And so she just writes things down more than she used to. And, you know, I have no way of knowing if she would have been fine without that prayer, but I know that she wasn't, and nobody expected her to be, until Carol and I, my cousin and I, prayed together over her, and then everything changed. And I love my cousin Kay, and I'm so grateful that she is still on the planet. And Kay, if you're listening, I'm really, really glad you're still here. But that's the power of prayer. And I just want everybody to know that. It doesn't matter where you are or where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you actually surrender your heart to God, For me, getting on my knees helps. But it is about surrender at the deepest level. Turn it over. You can write that down to do it. You can talk about it to do it. I've known people who danced their prayers. It doesn't even matter how you pray. But if you are willing to surrender whatever it is that has been troubling you or bothering you, if you're really willing to give it to God, God can take it. In my experience, it only happens when I totally surrender. And so that's the message I wanted to bring to everyone today. The prayer can create miraculous healings when we're willing to believe that healing can happen, when we're willing to surrender whatever has been in the way of that healing, and when we really either have faith or trust, whatever it takes for you. For me, personally, faith is easy. Trust is harder for me. And so I always have faith. I know that I'm part of God and God is part of me. And I also know that God is so much more than I am. And so if I can surrender whatever it is to God, then miracles can happen. Miraculous healings can take place. If I just wanted to sit here and give you a list of the healings that have happened in my life, I would be talking for hours. I want to thank everybody so much for listening today. And I really hope you join me every Wednesday right here on 88.3 FM in the Cincy area and live streaming online at WAIF883.org. The show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. There is a Facebook page for this show. If you're on Facebook, by all means, join us there. Tell us what you'd like to hear, what you like. Let me know if you'd like to share a story, either on the phone or come in the station. I'd love to hear your stories. If you want to get in touch with me, my name again is Reverend Louisa Dyer. There's also a guided meditation on my louisadyer.com website. If you want help with getting in touch with your own higher self, your own inner divinity, you're welcome to download that free guided meditation from my website. And I'm closing out today with the theme song for the show, which is God Is by Faith Rivera. Thank you so very much for listening, and I hope everyone has a very safe and happy Halloween, Samhain, All Hallows Day, and All Saints Day. Enjoy.